And amen. Happy Memorial Day to you. Special weekend to remember. We live in a great country that's been blessed by God. God has blessed this nation, and we are to bless the Lord with the freedom that we have. And listen, my father served in the military for 30 years, and for that reason, I was born in Okinawa. I lived in Tehran, Iran, for a couple of years and moved around. Grateful for those who serve and who have served in our military. If you have served, have family who are serving in military, if you would stand and let us recognize you at this moment. Very grateful for you all. All right, we are journeying in the book of 2 Timothy, and if you have your copy of God's Word, let's take a look at it together. I want to encourage you simply by being here today. You are obeying God. God tells His people to gather together. That's the church. God's people gather together to worship the Lord through our singing. They sang hymns. They would gather together and sing. They would gather together around the Word of God. And He tells us to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. So I want to encourage you to continue to gather together with God's people to worship Him. This is your family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And Timothy was called to lead a family of believers pastoring there in Ephesus. Paul would write to young Timothy. Paul's probably about 60 years of age. Timothy's in his mid to late 30s at this point. And Paul is writing from prison. He knows he is at the end of his time on this side of eternity. He knows he's about to lay down his life, that he would be beheaded. So as he's about to die, he's writing some very choice words for Timothy. Timothy, tune in. This is very important. And for you and I today, tune in. This is very important. Now, you remember that he wrote 1 Timothy some 3 or 4 years earlier than this, and he was speaking to Timothy about all the false teachers that are all over the world. Timothy, there are false teachers. They're going to come at you. They're going to have all kinds of different belief systems. They're going to believe in different gods. They're going to come at it from different angles, and they're going to disown the Scriptures. They're going to disown what God has said is true. And even in this world that we live in today, there are false teachers that are running around, and you can find anyone to teach you anything you want to hear. They'll tickle your ears. But listen to God's Word, not the opinions of men, not the rituals and traditions of men, but listen to God's Word. This is where he's going to take Timothy as we look at chapter 1, verse 13 through 18 today. He wants to remind Timothy to be grounded and to be anchored in the Word of God. These false teachers are going to come, and you'll be able to spot them just like that if you're grounded in the Word of God. Today, there'll be those who come, and they'll knock at your door. They'll even come in the name of Christianity. We're the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormons. But their belief system is not consistent with the Word of God. We've done classes that help you to be equipped to understand. And there's also the belief systems. Those come knock on your door from the Watchtower Society. They will leave literature with you. They are the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I want to tell you, they're not the enemy. They're deceived by the enemy. We're to love God, and we're to love people and to tell them the truth. We'll hear from Finney Matthews, who will come later this summer. He'll even be with us next weekend for a Great Commission prayer of dedication in the Legacy Building. And Finney will tell you that there are 1.2 billion people in India, and the majority of them are worshiping all the various gods. There are 33 million gods in the Hindu belief system. There's all kinds of false teaching, but if you know the truth will set you free. And the only way you can be protected from being deceived by all the false teaching is to know the Word of God. We have our young people going to school, and they teach evolution as fact. We have our people going out to college. They come back. They call me, Pastor David. That teacher was telling me that God's not real, that I believe some book that's just a bunch of history written by men, that God is dead. God's not dead. and there is truth. And God has revealed His truth to us. What you and I need to know is His people. God created us. He talked to us about creation. What God has done, His faithfulness is recorded in Scripture. And you know the Word of God is true. So if you have a Bible, read it. And when you read God's Word, believe it. And when you believe it, you do what God's Word says. This is so important. And this is what the Scripture is teaching you and I today. You see, Timothy, not only are there false teachers, by the time he gets into 2 Timothy, he's telling them that you have perilous times ahead. And not only are there false teachers, but you're going to have hard times, trials, tribulations, temptations, and even persecution. Listen, Paul knows what he's talking about. He's in prison because he believes in Christ and was preaching Christ crucified. But he was not ashamed of the gospel. Just because people were going to persecute him, make fun of him, it wasn't like Paul's going, oh, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to walk away. No, there was a battle that was raging for the souls of men, and Paul was walking into it. God's calling you and I to do the same thing, to stand, to be anchored in the truths of God's Word, not to be ashamed. And so Paul's in prison. He's writing to Timothy some very important words, and he says, listen, false teachers in tough times. And with that context in mind, now he says this. Notice in verse 13, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Hold fast, embrace, abide in, don't depart from, be anchored in the pattern of sound words. In other words, the Scriptures that have been poured into you, don't leave them. Dig your roots deep into them. So when the storms come, you're not going to be blown away. Now I know, listen, in this room today, it's very comfortable. Man, we're sitting in air conditioning, lights and padded chairs, and man, if we don't like the song, we get all bent out of shape, right? I don't like what he said there, get all bent out of shape. It's so comfortable in here, there's no persecution. Listen, in many parts of the world, they don't care about having a roof or the padded chairs, the air conditioning, they're going to get together around God's Word because they know it is the hope. And I want to tell you today, don't be distracted away from this truth. God's Word is true and it is our hope, and we have all the hope in the world in Christ. These great truths, be anchored in, don't be ashamed of, and don't depart from. Now, this is not a new thought being introduced to Scripture here. You go back, way back in time, and God was speaking to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He says, Joshua, verse 7, be strong and courageous, and you meditate in and marinate in the Word of God. Don't let it depart from your mouth. You stay in it. You don't turn away to the left or to the right. You stay right there. Oh, but there are going to be people almost pulling you out of it, trying to drag you out of. You don't really believe that. That's silly. What if I put you in jail? What if I make fun of you? In America today, persecution is only taking the form of laughing. For the most part, it's still pretty soft, although it's on the rise. You follow Christ, you go to church, that's okay. You live for God 7 days a week. Now you're getting real strange on me. But if you come out and drink with us and do some drugs, we're all okay, right? What? You're not going to do that? You're not going to cuss the way we cuss and drink the way we drink and talk the way we talk and make fun of people? Hey, wait a second. Why are you different? We're not trying to be holier than thou. We're just trying to please the God who created us. And that's the difference. And when you do, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you. We prayed for a young girl who's going to serve the Lord 9 months overseas. She's in her later teen years. And the pastors gathered around her and prayed for her in my office this week. And, you know, the warning that I imparted to her is, it's been nice, and you've heard the words here at Richland Creek. Now, when you get on the other side of the planet, don't forget them. Because the culture is going to come against you, the false teachers are going to come against you, the belittling and the persecution, and you stay anchored right in the Word of God. Don't depart from it. I mean, these are real things, and you guys know because you're in the workplace, you're in the schools, You're on teams and you see how people live, the choices that they make, the priorities that they place in their life. It's no big deal. You don't have to go to church. The persecution has come and you hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. What did he hear from Paul? He did not hear about Paul's opinions. Paul was not interested in the opinions of men and the rituals and traditions of men. And I say for that part, at Richland Creek, we are not interested in those things either. We are interested in what does God have to say about these things? What does God say about life? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about relationships? What does God say about modesty? What does God say? I want to listen to what God says, and I want to please the Father. I want to please the God who created me. I want to do it God's way, all the way, with a great heart. And I pray that that's your spirit today, too. That you want to take dead aim on the rest of your life and please God with your life. God created us that we might glorify Him. And when you glorify the Father, you bear fruit. You're a light that shines in darkness. And I want to tell you, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So hold fast the pattern of sound words, the doctrines, the teachings of Scripture, which you have heard from me, and do it in faith. Believe these things. And I want to tell you today that you can believe God's word. I want to tell you today that you can trust God. You can believe Him and do so in faith and do so in love. Not being obnoxious and rude and arrogant, but as a meek servant, you can live out your faith in love. Love God and love people. And what's the source of this faith? What's the source of this love? Notice how Paul constantly notes it, which is in Christ Jesus, the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Timothy, hold fast this pattern of sound doctrine. You know, this teaching is really so simple that today, the struggle for each one of us is not understanding the Scripture today. It's understanding in its simplicity, this is what God has called me to do. It's kind of like sitting down. I remember growing up, putting my feet under my mama's table. And there was broccoli and spinach on the plate. Man, I look across the table at my dad. Love my parents. They both live in Richmond. Still doing great. Praise the Lord for my parents. Pull my feet up under mama's table, look across the table, and dad says, you're going to clean your plate tonight. Yes, sir. Did I want to? No. Did I understand? Yes. Very easy to understand. Very difficult to actually do. Timothy, I've got just a few parting words for you. False teachers, perilous times ahead. Be anchored in God's word. Know it, believe it, and do it. Resist the simple temptations to depart from the word. In the same line of thinking, he says in verse 14 now, that good thing which was committed to you, that is the word, that is the treasure of the gospel, that God is one, that Jesus Christ, God the Son, takes on our humanity. He's born of a virgin, lives a sinless life. He was God, and He laid down His life. He stretched out His arms. He was crucified on a cross. He bled for us. He was slaughtered. He was crucified. He died, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And that when people by faith trust Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that Isaiah wrote about 700 years before He came, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, dies for you. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. The Messiah died for you, was buried and rose again on the third day. That treasure, that good thing which was committed to you, I want you to keep it. I want you to guard it. He's speaking like this is a treasure, and I promise to you this morning that it is a great treasure. I want you to keep it. How can I do that? By the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. I remember being a new believer, and there was a friend of mine who had been walking with the Lord a while. He kind of came alongside me, and he was mentoring me. And as a new believer, he saw that I was wrestling with some things, struggling with some things, and he came alongside me. He met me where I worked in Washington, D.C. He meets me up there. We're going and walking around, and he says these words to me. He says, "It's impossible to live the Christian life." And I said, "That's not what I need to hear right now." What do you mean by that? And what he meant, and as he explained, it's impossible to live the Christian life in and of our own strength. It's not by our wisdom, it's not by our might, it's not by our power, it is by the Holy Spirit. You remember when Jesus left, he says, "I am going away, but I'm sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's going to come alongside you, and he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth." You see, we have this great power supply that doesn't end, and it's not our strength, it's his strength. Timothy, I want you to be anchored in God's word and don't depart from it. But here's the trick. You can't do it in and of your own strength. Keep it by the Holy Spirit. Well, where do I get a hold of that? This beautiful theological truth that when any person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, when they believe and put their faith in Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit is deposited into the believer, sealing them until the day of redemption. Notice how he says that, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, dwells in you if you have trusted Christ by faith? I like how Paul words that. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, Paul would write these words. He says, "In Christ, in him, you also trusted." You put your faith in Christ. "After you heard the word of truth, that is the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, now that you have believed," having believed or placed your faith in him, "you were sealed with the Holy Spirit." That is God's down payment on you that he intends to redeem fully at the end of the age. When you buy a house, you put a down payment on that. And that is expressing your intent to fully purchase that. God's done the same thing. If you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And that is your power source. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you, which is the guarantee of our inheritance. And so it is now possible to live the Christian life. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, we read these words, and he says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, who is now living in you." This reminds me of a story. I was fascinated. I read this several years ago about a building. It had a peculiar ending to the story. So as I was reading it, it was talking about this building that was built, and it had this elaborate sprinkler system all throughout the building. It was state of the art. Sprinkle every room, fire starts, it's going to be out real quick. The reason why it made the news and I was reading in the newspaper is because it burned to the ground. I'm thinking, wait a second. How did that happen? And so while it had all of this state of the art sprinkler system, fire did in fact break out, and they determined that the system was not just simply plugged in to the source. Listen, there's a lot of believers today, very gifted, capable of many things, and you're not plugged into the power. You're not plugged into the source. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Scripture teaches us, don't quench the Holy Spirit, but that we are to abide in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in each one of us. And that's how we keep it. That's what makes it possible to live the Christian faith. And not just possible, that we can flourish in the faith. The Holy Spirit doesn't run out of power, and he's working in and through us. And as we abide in him, we'll see the fruit of the Spirit overflowing in our lives. You remember what Paul would write in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit? You can just see it in someone's life, right? He says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All of these things are flowing from the believer who is abiding in Christ, abiding and trusting the Holy Spirit. And so he says, you keep God's word. You embrace and hold fast to the word of God, that good thing which was committed to you. You keep it. How? By the Holy Spirit. Where is he? He dwells in you. Now he gives two examples of those who were not following God's prescription. I want you to notice this. Look in verse 15. He writes and he says, Timothy, this you know. You've heard about this. That all those in Asia, that is modern day Turkey, have turned away from me. Wait a second. They were all following and all excited when it was safe and while great things were happening. But now you're in jail and now there's this word that they're going to cut off the heads of the Christians there in Rome. The persecution is going to break out. And Paul says, you know this, that all in Asia have turned away from me, among who are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Great names of the past. Some of you have already had kids and you're thinking, man, I missed out on naming my kids. And the idea is that Timothy was going to recognize these names. And Timothy was going to even be shocked when he heard these names. Are you kidding me? I know you said all these people, but you just named these two guys, and these two had shown great promise and leadership. These two were men who were right there at the revivals. They were right there when people, they were right there, but now times got tough and they're rolling out. They left. Hey, Jesus is sort of important, but he's not that important. And so their names are forever recorded in Scripture. You know, all those in Asia have turned away from me, among who are Phygellus and Hermogenes. They're not with me anymore. But I want you to see this in verse 16. He says this, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. I wonder what his nickname was. I mean, do you just call him by name at the house? He's at the house, you say, oh, you know. I mean, we have a hard time at my house. We abbreviate Jake's name, right? You know, that's just a quick name. We call him Bo, you know. So I guess this is O, Onesiphorus. They had some names back in the day. Paul spells it out, and his name is forever recorded in this way. How will your name be recorded? Ah, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Guess what he did? For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. He would go and he would see Paul. And he would refresh Paul. Now listen, this is expressing, Paul was a man, he was human. And as he would think about different people, certain thoughts came into his mind. And when it came to Onesiphorus, he was graced with a smile and said, man, he refreshed me. Man, I can look around this room and think of people, man. It's just, when I think of them, when I see them, when I see Brenda, I always say, I can get give me 1,000 of Brenda. Emily will talk about Brenda. She's so refreshing. You're going to get a hug, you're going to get a smile, and I love you, praying for you. I look around this room and I see Trish, and man, when I see Trish, give me 1,000 of her. God is using his people to refresh, to encourage, and to build the kingdom of God. I praise the Lord. I could just go on name and name, so don't be offended if I don't name names, but man, they're all racing through my mind right now. I praise the Lord for you. And then occasionally there's those people that when you see them, it reminds me of the sign in the shop that said, we love all of our customers. We're blessed and happy for all of our customers. Some when we see them coming, some when we see them going. You'll think of it on the way home. Don't worry about it. Man, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, you know, love and joy. Some Christians, man, they look like they just swallowed a turnip and an onion at the same time. Just mean. Y'all haven't met those people, have you? You ever seen people just mean and ugly and just a rain cloud, you know, just unhappy? I know Doc knows what I'm talking about. But Onesiphorus, he refreshed me. Paul needed that. Listen, we all need the encouragement to press on. The Christian life is difficult if we're living it right. There's challenges, there's temptations, there's trials. You come along somebody. Onesiphorus. He refreshed me. And he wasn't ashamed. I can imagine when Onesiphorus comes in, he's like, I want to go visit Paul. He's down in the prison. They're like, are you with him? Are you one of him? Everybody else rolled out. He's like, yeah, I'm with that guy. I'm with him. Same DNA. He wasn't ashamed of my chain. Now in verse 17. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously, and he found me. The idea here is that there was a lot of trouble. There was a lot of effort, even in the face of danger. He wasn't ashamed. He said, I'm going to go see him, and I'm going to encourage him to run his race, to finish the course. And so now in verse 18, the Lord grant to him, Onesiphorus, that he may find mercy from the Lord. On that day, oh, that appointment that we all have with God constantly in the mind and in the writings of Scripture, that day, we all have that appointment. Are you ready for that day? Now, I want you to understand, he's really reflecting on specifically the believer's judgment. Now, the Scripture teaches us about two different judgments. Those who are saved, that is the Bema judgment of Christ. That's kind of like an Olympic award ceremony. And then there's the great white throne judgment. That is all who have ever lived who did not place faith in the Messiah. All who have ever lived and were not saved, they're going to the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 speaks of that. But he's thinking about this believer's judgment. And oftentimes as believers, we miss out on this. We're thinking it's just, am I saved or am I not saved? And while that's important, now there's this reflection on, wait a second. God's going to evaluate. It's not a judgment of condemnation. It's not the great white throne judgment, but it's a judgment of evaluation. God is going to evaluate my life. And we should actually look forward to that. It's like the athlete who competes and they do their best and they're looking forward to being evaluated. And so all of your choices, they count, they matter. And I think about all those who serve. They stack chairs, they serve, they clean, they take out the trash. They serve in the children's ministry. They hold the babies. The student ministry and all who serve, all of our small group leaders, all who serve as greeters and ushers and out in the parking lot, there's a reward. That's the gold and silver and precious stone that Jesus is going to evaluate in your life. Oh, I could go on and on. Those who pray, those who give. God is evaluating all of those things. And when you stand before him, you're going to present that and he's going to evaluate your life. And the Bible says the fire of God's judgment evaluates our works. First of all, he sees the foundation in Christ and we're saved. Praise the Lord for your salvation, but what are you doing with it? And so many of you, you're building with that gold, silver, and precious stone. And when the fire hits, it remains, becomes more beautiful. And God says he's going to reward each person for their work. It's a beautiful thought. But it's also a terrifying thought when you think of, man, I didn't know there was anything to this. I just was saved and I don't do anything. I didn't realize that God gave me a spiritual gift and he gave me opportunities and that Jesus said, behold, I'm coming soon, and I bring with me my reward to the believers. And I want to encourage you in that. Don't let Satan beat you up about the past, but I want you to take dead aim on the rest of your life. And think about it. You only have a little bit of time on this side of eternity before we go on to the other side, and God's going to evaluate that. And I want to encourage you to take dead aim on the rest of your life to live for the Lord. How you spend your time, your talents, and your treasures, all for the Lord. Use your spiritual gift, whatever it is that God has given you, you use it to the glory of God that you may bear much fruit, that you might hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The times are urgent. The opportunities abound. And the strength through the Holy Spirit living in us and the guidance of the Word is limitless. We can see amazing things happen, and we can live the Christian life because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And this is the message that he's giving to Timothy. False teachers, perilous times, trials, tribulations, and temptations coming. Don't worry about it, Timothy. You be anchored in the Word of God. And you keep the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be like those two guys. You be like that guy. And when the Lord comes, he's going to reward you. He's going to bless you. For you sought to glorify him with your life. I want to close with a story. I moved to Wake Forest, Raleigh area, January of 96. And man, it's changed a lot. And September of 96, an unwelcome visitor by the name of Fran rolled through town. Hurricane Fran, maybe you remember that. And there were trees knocked down everywhere. Unbelievable. And you couldn't really drive anywhere. I remember walking and biking and going up into downtown Wake Forest and seeing huge trees, big oaks knocked over. One thing that stood out in my mind about that was looking at some of these huge trees, and some of them were rotted out in the middle. And then you look at their roots, and they were rotted or they were shallow. So when the storms came, they were blown over. They looked impressive on the outside, but the storms revealed what they were really about. Listen, the storms are coming, Timothy. Let's just bring it in today's world. Paul's writing God's word to us. Storm's coming, and it's going to test the quality and the integrity of our faith. In here, it's safe. You start going out in the classrooms, going out in the culture, and you start living for Christ 7 days a week, the storm's coming, and I want you to have deep roots, anchored in the Word of God, so when the storms come, you will withstand. You will stand firm in the faith, and you will not be overcome by the power of the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great reminder in your Word today. My prayer for each person here is that we would, in fact, hold fast, be anchored in, not depart from, that we would abide in your word, in faith and in love. And that good thing which has been committed to each one of us, that we would keep, not in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Lord, let us not be like those who turn away, but Lord, through sound doctrine and the power of God indwelling us, that we would be able to stand firm and even look forward to that day where we stand before you to hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God, give us wisdom. God, give us faith. God, give us strength that we might be ready for that day and that we might take dead aim on the rest of our lives. Lord, each one of us could acknowledge today that we have sinned and fallen short. But Lord, you're the God of the second chances. So remind us afresh and anew today of the hope that we have in Christ, the power that is available to us in Christ, the forgiveness that's available to us in Christ, that we may not be condemned with Satan's lies, but overjoyed by the promises of Christ. Lord, bless this to our understanding that it might affect how we live in our remaining days on this side of eternity. We pray this in the matchless name of the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.